You're tuned to 90.7 KRWG Las Cruces. I'm Leora Zeitlin. We just heard the last movement of the violin concerto in C major of Joseph Haydn, and we heard the Australian violinist Elizabeth Walfish performing and directing the Orchestra of the Age of Enlightenment. That music is going to be on the program of a concert this weekend, the debut concert of Camerata del Sol, a new chamber orchestra here in Las Cruces. And I'm delighted to have back in our studios Daniel Vega Albela. You're the founder or one of the founding members of Camerata del Sol.
That's right.
All right. Tell us what a chamber orchestra is and how you got inspired to start one in Las Cruces, El Paso, and Juarez, because it's a regional orchestra.
That's right. Well, my first experience with a professional orchestra was a long time ago, around 1995 in Mexico City. I had gone back to Mexico after finishing my undergraduate degree at the Manus College of Music. I had then done 3 semesters at University of Massachusetts doing a Master of Performance degree, but then I decided that I was a little saturated from school and I wanted to go back to Mexico and work as a professional musician. So I was teaching at a private violin academy there, and I was invited to join a string orchestra, which was called the Orquesta de Cámara de Morelos, which is interesting because Morelos is a town or a state, I should say, that is about an hour from Mexico City. But none of the musicians from the Orquesta de Cámara de Morelos were from Morelos. We were all from Mexico City. And it was a small ensemble, very much like Camerata del Sol, composed of the musicians of the several different professional orchestras there. And they were all very, very fine string players. And so that was my first experience with a chamber orchestra. And I loved it. It was so much fun because it's a very small ensemble. And so you are able to communicate with the musicians in the ensemble in ways that you cannot communicate with other musicians in the context of symphonic music. And it was a very rewarding experience. They also invited me, incidentally, to play as soloist, and I played the Haydn Concerto in C for that orchestra. That was great because it's one of the few times that I had the opportunity of being accompanied by a very fine orchestra. Oftentimes, unless you're a world-class soloist, you get invited to play as soloist, and the orchestras are not always going to be playing on a highly professional level. But this time, it was great. And so I was in Mexico for about 3 years, and the 3 years that I was there, I worked with that orchestra. And at that point, I decided it would be very nice one day to have a chamber orchestra. But then, of course, I became completely involved with having a professional string quartet, and it's kind of hard to try to negotiate both things at the same time. Anyway.
Yeah, let me just break in, because in case there's a new listener who doesn't know you, Daniel, you're also the founder of La Catrina Quartet, which is the string quartet in residence here at New Mexico State.
That's right. So that's kind of occupied the last 15 years of my life professionally. Anyway, when Simon Goyo joined the quartet, we became close friends very quickly. And as it turns out, he had always also had the dream of having a chamber orchestra at some point. And so I said to him, well, why don't we do it? And he said, sure, sounds great. But he's got many, many other projects going at the same time. He has his festival in Aruba. He has lots of other engagements outside of Las Cruces. And so it became clear to me that I was going to have to be the one doing most of the legwork to make this happen. And I started contacting musicians in the area. I also am visiting concertmaster or acting concertmaster at the El Paso Symphony Orchestra. And several of my colleagues also expressed their interest in doing something outside of the realm of symphonic music. And so we started talking with some of the members of the El Paso Symphony Orchestra about this possibility. And that's how it got started. We started working in earnest on making this happen sometime in the summer. And of course, we first had to select the musicians and then just really figure out how we were going to make this first concert happen. But it's been very, very interesting. It's the first time, obviously, that I try to put something together like this. It's my first time that I've been involved in fundraising, and I have realized that fundraising is not something that happens one day. It's something that needs to be happening
all
every
the time.
Day. So that's been a challenging experience and a very it's been a learning experience, and it's all been really, really good. But it's been quite intense at the same time. So
there are, I think, 15 members of your orchestra.
It's 15 members. And the whole idea of having a chamber orchestra here is because, of course, we have the El Paso Symphony Orchestra. We have the Las Cruces Symphony Orchestra. And there is a whole body of repertoire that has been written specifically for chamber orchestra. And I thought, you know, it would be great in an area where we don't have a group like that to create something to fill that gap in the programming that is presented.
So a chamber orchestra generally means a much smaller one. In this case, it's strings, just strings. Sometimes the chamber orchestra might have a few winds or something like that, certainly.
Right. The group was conceived as a string orchestra that can be a flexible group. It can grow to a bigger group. Like you said, we can add some winds, and then it would become more of a sinfonietta group. And that is the idea, that eventually we'll be able to program some of the symphonies that, again, a symphony orchestra may not be that interested in programming. It can also be smaller, so we can do smaller type things. We can do sextets, we can do octets, we can do all kinds of different things. So it's a very flexible group, but of course, the core of a chamber orchestra is the strings. Mm-hmm. So currently, we are a 15-piece group, and if you add, of course, the keyboard, we would be a 16-group ensemble.
All right, let's talk about the program this weekend. Your debut concerts here in Las Cruces on Saturday night at 7:30 at the Atkinson Recital Hall, Sunday afternoon in El Paso at Trinity Church.
That's right.
And what time is that concert?
3:00.
3:00. Mm-hmm. Okay, and you've got musicians from?
We have musicians from Las Cruces, El Paso, and Ciudad Juarez. But really, the crew is a little bit more international than that, because we have musicians from Korea, we have musicians from Mexico, we have musicians from Venezuela, we have musicians from Colombia.
And also,
and of course, from the United States.
And the United States, not just in this area, because I know we've been hosting this week the bass player, who's
right.
You flew in from Washington, D.C. So, yes, so you've got musicians from all around. Okay, on the program, chamber concert, you've got the music of Haydn, as we just said, this beautiful violin concerto of Haydn, which that era generally lends itself to a smaller ensemble, so it's perfect for a chamber orchestra.
Right.
And although you hear the Haydn violin concerto sometimes with a larger group also.
Right. But generally when they program that piece, because it's strictly for strings and harpsichord, the orchestra will typically get cut. So you don't play with the full symphony orchestra.
Right. They come back on for the second half.
Right, exactly.
But then you have music of Sibelius and Josef Suk. Let's talk a little bit about Josef Suk. Czech composer who was the student of Dvorak and ended up marrying Dvorak's daughter.
Right.
And I always think of his music as kind of sad, melancholy, because it was a sad thing that happened. They were completely in love. I think they fell in love as teenagers. And then she died in childbirth. And I think the child survived, but the Dvorak's daughter and his wife, and, you know, he's got a, I forget the name of the piece, but something about, you know, memories of your mother, you know, that he wrote for the child.
Mm-hmm.
But this was written when he was young, and it's very sunny and beautiful serenade. So tell us a little bit about your thoughts about Yosef Souk and the serenade.
Well, again, this piece was one piece that I played with the Orquesta de Cámara de Morelos, and I fell in love with it immediately. And so as soon as I realized that this camerata was happening, I thought this would be a great serenade to play for this audience, because it's not played very often. It's beautiful, and as you said, it's very joyful. The textures are really rich. The melodies are gorgeous. I believe he wrote this when he was 18. And you can hear so much of Dvorak's influence in his writing, of course, because he's so young, and you can tell that he's still, you know,
imbibing the teachers.
Exactly. Influence. But it's a wonderful piece, and we've been having a lot of fun rehearsing it. One of the things that is interesting about this group is that it's a professional group, but in a way it's also a little bit of a training group, because it's composed of professors from NMSU and UTEP, which I also happen to think is a great thing, because, you know, we like to invent rivalries between the Miners and the Aggies, and that's fine if you're in a football game, as a high school professor said yesterday when we went to do an in-school concert. But I think it's very important for musicians to collaborate. And so I'm very, very happy that we have a very diverse group, not only in terms of nationalities, but we also have a collaborative effort going between NMSU and UTEP. And we are playing alongside some of our more advanced students. And so I think it's a wonderful thing, because it creates a very special kind of energy in the group. And so it's been a lot of fun working with a lot of these young people who are so eager to do things well, and just trying to find a cohesive sound together. You know, sometimes you have the old guys, you know, feeling music in certain ways, and then you have the very young and eager guys feeling music in completely different ways. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting and challenging, and hopefully we'll sort it all out by Saturday evening.
All right. So having said that, what we didn't say at the outset of this interview or during this interview is that this ensemble has no conductor, which is often the case with a small chamber ensemble of this size. When I announced the Elizabeth Walfish at the beginning of the interview, she was leading the Orchestra of the Age of Enlightenment from her position as the soloist. So, you have these teachers, you have your professors, you have your students. So obviously there's a little bit of a hierarchy of who gets to make the ultimate decisions. And you're used to this with a quartet also. You have to hammer out disagreements sometimes in interpretation. But in the orchestra, who's sort of saying we're going to do it this way?
Well, generally, the way that we've worked it out so far is whoever happens to be in the concertmaster chair is the one who is going to generally be leading the rehearsals and such. We have also had some sectionals. So that helps also smooth out some of the discrepancies within sections in terms of, you know, how we want to play a certain section, what kind of a bow stroke we want to use.
Yeah.
Small ensembles really are not in need of a conductor. And full disclosure, I have nothing against conductors. I think conductors are great. But having worked in a string quartet for so many years and learning to negotiate very complex rhythmic textures, very complex transitions, a small chamber orchestra really is more like a big string quartet than a small symphony orchestra. And so, again, with this particular group, there are no weak players. They're all really good musicians, and they're all listening. And so I think that it can be much more interesting and satisfying for all of us to figure out ways in which to connect directly rather than going through a conductor, which, again, you know, sometimes conductors are essential to make something happen. But we also had the great privilege of having rehearsals starting this past Monday. So it's plenty of rehearsals for the program. We've had sectionals. And so, you know, sometimes when you have to, you know, put together on short order, you have to have a conductor to just, you know, expedite certain processes. But in this case, it wasn't necessary. I'm not saying that at some point we might not invite a conductor that we would really love to work with, you know. But the concept is that we generally will be working as a conductorless orchestra, kind of like
Orpheus.
And I also believe that maybe St. Paul sometimes does
sometimes. I think they've had conductors, but I think sometimes they also do it without. Other wonderful chamber orchestras. My guest has been Daniel Vega Albela. The group is Camarata del Sol, and their debut concerts are Saturday night at the Atkinson Recital Hall at 7:30 and Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock at Trinity Church in El Paso. Camarata del Sol, our newest classical ensemble in this region. And I just should say, there's so much happening now between Ciudad Juarez, El Paso, and Las Cruces to build a sense of a regional center economically and culturally. So,
right.
So it's wonderful that you've got players from there and elsewhere. So good luck with the concert and congratulations.
Thank you for having me.